You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Thursday, which means during the first hour, we'll be doing the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. And then later in the show, Adele Musa will be joining us all the way from Munster, Germany to do the Subversity Science Roundup. We've got great topics for you today. You're not going to want to miss the show. Just a reminder, Brooks Kubik came on the show yesterday and said to 35 of my listeners who order his Dinosaur Dumbbell training book, which is a beautiful coffee table ready book with dumbbell exercises that you've not seen anywhere else, you will automatically get for free the 7 Keys to Concentration Superhuman University course, which includes the MP3 and the course notes emailed to you within 24 hours of placing your order. Go to Brooks Kubik, KUBIK.com. Click the products link, click the Dinosaur Dumbbell Book link, and put in the comment section my name, Carl Lenore, X-9, Carl Lenore, X-9, to take advantage of this $20 free offer. Okay, let's get right to it. How you doing, Coach Johnson?
I'm well. Good to be with you guys.
And also, Rob Regish, how are you?
Doing great. Great to be with you guys.
Okay. All right, we're going to actually be covering two unique subjects on today's show, which is the blueprint. I'm sorry, the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy number 24, brought to you by House of Pain. Check out House of Pain's shirts and gear by going to Superhuman Radio and clicking the House of Pain banner ad. With that being said, this is actually an interesting topic that Coach Johnson is getting more and more questions about, and I too am in a quandary. I want to start initiating some Olympic lifting. How do I program that into my traditional strength training, regardless of whether I'm doing powerlifting type training or bodybuilding type training? How do I fit Olympic lifting in, and how often? What do you think?
Well, it's not an easy process, and one of the things that I'm trying to do a little differently this time, since we were on together last time, I competed in an Olympic lifting meet, and so basically, all I've ever done to prepare for that, or to practice the two lifts, I train powerlifting Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So on Wednesday and Saturday, because I'm a gym rat, I would practice the Olympic lifts. And as I have delved more and more into the sport itself, I'm realizing that for me to become proficient, I'm going to have to spend a little more time working on it. So what I've done of late, and let me go back, and I'll try not to be too long-winded. Julia and I went to the meet, and again, for you guys out there that have a girlfriend, a spouse, or partner, fiance, Julia pretty much saved me, from myself going into this meet because I was ready to leave, and that's a whole nother story in itself. We basically got lost and couldn't find the meet site. And she was determined that I was going to do the meet.
So were you actually going to go the hell with it? We can't find it.
I already said it. I was like, I can't repeat what I said, but I was basically like, let's get, the heck out of here. Is much more colorful than that. And she said, no, your big ass is going. We've drove all the way up here. You've trained for this, so you're going. And, she was driving her. I was ready to, to turn around. I was already, I'll be honest, I was very nervous. I was very much out of my element. Powerlifting events aren't so far removed atmosphere-wise and athlete-wise from strongman. So I made the transition to strongman fairly easy, and I knew a bunch of those guys. when I went to this Olympic lifting meet, and it was in East Tennessee, in Johnson City, I didn't know anybody. There was no one that was a familiar face. I had no idea how the meet was going to run, and, you know, it was in session versus flights, and so I was pretty much a fish out of water, and it was Julia that went up to this guy, is this older gentleman, that wasn't familiar to me, and he had a couple of lifters that he was handling, and she goes, he's new and he has no idea what he's doing. Can you help him? And he goes, sure, I've got him covered. And he started asking questions, taking notes. And long story short, the gentleman was Mike Sirach, and he's from South Carolina. And anybody that knows anything apparently about Olympic lifting and in the South Carolina area, especially with high school football and young athletes, Coach Sirach is legendary. And, you know, just by fluke, you know, that we bumped into him and he handled me, and go to YouTube and punch his name in, and he's got some really cool ideas. Very innovative coach. You know, he's not someone that has just got stuck in a rut with what he does. He's very, very innovative. So I would strongly suggest it's Mike Sirach, S-R-O-C-K. Very, very interesting guy. And you know, went very conservatively. We can go into the meet, you know, later or another time. But what Coach Sirach told me, he goes, there are certain things you can do, you know, because I have issues with my knees, especially the right knee. You know, there are ways to train. You know, you don't have to just do lift after lift after lift, you know, because I'm doing several different things at the same time. So what I've done, just to give you a for instance, when we do our bench training Monday, I'm following that up with some overhead pressing. It's moderate to moderate heavy, so I don't, you know, go too crazy. On Tuesday, after I squat, my competition squat, I used to do certain assistance type squats, close stance, wide stance, safety squat bar, cambered bar, so on and so forth. And now I'm doing overhead squats, so, you know, I can work on my snatch, right, form, so on. And I will do at the end of the workout, I'll, you know, just practice some very light form work type snatches.
But you do these on a separate day?
No.
So you, that's what I'm saying. So you're actually integrating these into your powerlifting workout.
Absolutely. And I had done some of this in the past where on Wednesdays after we squat as like a prehab rehab thing, you know, cause our legs would be kind of flat and sore from the squat training, we would overhead squat and front squat. Now, I mean, it was never heavy and it was never a high amount of volume, but we did it and I always found my recovery to be so much better because I pulled every week on Friday. And so, I'm not finding any ill effects so far by doing this. I was a little tired and flat this morning, but I'll be honest, I think that's more because of the cardio that I'm doing, trying to help myself lose some poundage before December.
And we're going to actually talk about that in the second half of the show with Rob Regish leading the charge on how to diet down for strength while continuing to build strength. Okay, so working these movements in to your normal powerlifting routine seems to be key if you want to not just become exclusively an Olympic lifter slash only, or you want to keep doing your normal routine, but you want to incorporate these moves in. How wise is it? Is it even wise to venture this? You know, are you spreading yourself too thin? Are you going to be not good at either of them if you take this approach?
Well, I can only tell you that in the past, my lifts, when I was doing this, when I was doing the Olympic lifts every Wednesday and every Saturday, my lifts were national level. Of course, now I didn't do these in front of judges, but when I was in my mid-30s, masters in Olympic lifting and bodybuilding is at 35, and Rob may need to correct me. I think it's at 35 is when the masters starts for bodybuilding and Olympic lifting, and it's 40 for powerlifting and strongman. Yeah. And back then, I was training for powerlifting. Wednesday and Saturday, I would do my auxiliary work in Olympic lifting. And then about every third Saturday, I would travel about an hour and go to a gym where the strongmen guys trained, and I would do event training. And I competed and did real well. I won the amateur division of the Music City Strongman, the first one that they won, while I was training for Worlds. So I think you have to be really careful. You have to understand that something will give, you know, that you're not, you know, if you're doing an abundance of assistance for a particular lift on a particular day, you know, some of that is probably going to have to be cut out. And then I caution everyone. I have spent years training and developing the work capacity, you know, to get to this point. If you start adding these and start going crazy, there will be a detrimental effect. There's no question about it. I have spent a long, long time, developing the work capacity to do this. And then, you know, I've got the mindset, this is what I'm going to do, you know, and that's the thing. Well, my knee hurts. Well, then I'm heated up and I wrap it or I put a brace on it and I keep going. It's either going to go or break, one of the two.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's talk more about not only programming the Olympic lifts in, but maybe let's address if there's any caveats, like these are the movements you probably shouldn't be doing, if there are any. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson. Coach, give your websites, please.
You can find me on Facebook. I have a personal site and Johnson Strength site. You can find me on johnsonstrengthgroup.com. And weightliftingdiscussion.com is where our training forum is. And then I can be reached at supersquat800@yahoo.com.
Okay. And then, of course, Rob Regish. If you want to learn more about Rob Regish, you can go to superhumanradio.com and click either the Mass Pro Synthogen banner ad or the Blueprint banner ad. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish, brought to you by House of Pain. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle. Burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we will be covering Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa. You won't want to miss that. Lots of great stuff to talk about. Right now, we're discussing how to work in Olympic lifting into your traditional routines. Coach Johnson, do you think there's anything that people should absolutely stay away from? Any movements that could put you at greater risk than necessary, assuming you're not going to really be competing in Olympic lifting?
Well, if you're not really going to be competing in Olympic lifting, then I would temper the training. For me, I saw no ill effect. I would practice snatch on Wednesday and clean and jerk on Saturday. And the thing that I always did is I always kept the weight moderate. Occasionally, you know, every few weeks I would bump up the weight and, you know, kind of, you know, just to kind of see, you know, where I was. But I spent the majority of the time just making sure that I was really working on form. That would be where I would caution you. If you're going to be competitive, you know, let your body kind of be your guide, you know, and understand if you're not going to train it full time, you know, that something will have to give. There's only so many hours in the day, and my training week is back to a full 6 day week, and I'm still doing cardio on Sundays as well. So you've got to make sure that your food and your hydration is in place and your supplement program is in place, you know, and that you're getting adequate rest, and understand that, you know, occasionally, like Rob has, you know, told everybody, you know, you may need a day off, may need a couple of days off, you know, or really pull back. There's times where we'll pull back and we'll just do the main movement. You know, it's a session. You know, we're not taking a week off or anything. That would be the thing that I would caution you on. I'm not going to lie and say that I really, you know, am well versed enough in the Olympic training, you know, to tell you what not to do, but I would let your body be your guide and understand there's a lot of shoulder stuff going on, so pay attention to that. I haven't posted my workout I haven't linked it on the Superhuman Radio Facebook page yet today, but I did a lot of shoulder stuff, but it was extremely light, and that is for conditioning only. So, you know, those are some types of examples that you can use. I just would make sure that you're doing enough to make sure that you recuperate well.
Now, I see a lot of guys that are doing CrossFit now, doing this overhead squat, where you're almost in the finished position of a military press, and you're squatting with the bar all the way up like that. Does that not put the shoulders at a great deal of risk?
I would, you know, that's part of it. I do overhead squats, like I was telling you, with a snatch grip after my squats, and you have to pay attention. My biggest concern about CrossFit, and I've had this conversation with CrossFit box owners and coaches, is there is so much volume where the elbows and shoulders take such a beating. You know, and I've been to like dinners and such where there was athletes from different types of gyms and different, you know, types of athletes. And the biggest thing that I have found amongst all this, you know, the competitors, is the CrossFitters were the ones primarily with all the injuries. And that's not a negative comment towards CrossFit. I think it's one of those things that you have to temper your training. And one of the discussions I'm having with a gentleman that I'm working with right now is, you know, what are some things that we can do as a preventative? What are some prehab, rehab movements, you know, that we can do that will help prevent some of these injuries, or at least, you know, help people tolerate the volume. But yeah, with the overhead squat with that military grip, that seems to be a little risky, you know, if it's not something
because
I notice
a lot of people. I notice a lot of people who do that lift. They actually allow the bar to get real far behind their head, if you will, a neck, where they actually use the lack of range as a stopping point for their shoulders. And so, in other words, they're not steadying the bar muscularly. It's their shoulders would snap off if they went back any further.
Right. Yeah. And that, again, that's one of those things where you really have to be honest with yourself, and you have to let your body, you know, be your guide. It's really, really with the whole CrossFit thing. And again, that's incorporating so many different aspects.
Yeah.
You know, of strength sports, you know, overtraining is so easy. And I will repeat this again. I know I'm repetitive, but if you start looking at my journal and go, well, you know, Coach Wade does all this, I have spent years and years developing this work capacity, so I'm accustomed to it. And I still, you will not see me heaving, you know, 50-pound dumbbells in the side raise. I'll do high reps with a light weight, you know, and even moderate weight for moderate reps, you know, for certain things, you know, just to make sure I'm pumping blood into those areas and strictly for conditioning. All the strength work is done on the front end. So make sure you're putting some thought into it, not just volume and movements for the sake of. And then make sure that you trust, you know, if you're a CrossFitter or you're doing multiple, you know, sports and multiple training, you know, there's some expense, you know, but have a coach. I mean, I feel confident, you know, with my powerlifting career, but I have Olympic lifting coaches. So, you know, I went to where I felt like someone knew something more than I did and could help me. So I implore, you know, people to temper, you know, your zeal, and make sure that you're doing volume that you can actually handle and recuperate from and get some coaching.
Yeah. It makes sense. You know, I have to tell you, my opinion of CrossFit has changed. I think that CrossFit has a real value. I really do.
I do too.
Their approach to conditioning may actually be one that should be incorporated into a lot of different styles of training. And I think that whenever you have something that explodes on the scene the way CrossFit has, you're going to have a large number of people who don't respect the amount of work that goes into someone's ability to execute a given move with such precision and handle heavy weight over and over and over again. And people think, well, you know, I'm going to work up to that. I'm going to do that. And like you said, you know, you've been doing this for decades and building up this work capacity, and there's people out there. And I think those are the ones that end up getting injured. I got to be honest, because those are the same people who get injured just going to the gym and starting to train for the first time, and they overload their shoulders, they overload their back, they get hurt, they go, oh, this sucks. No, it doesn't suck. You didn't come in and deal with it and give it the respect that it deserved. You think just because you have hands and joints and muscles that you can do those things that you see other people doing that they've worked up to over the past 10 years.
Right. Well, I'll be interested in what Rob has to say about this, but this is what I tell people all the time, especially when I have new people, new clients that come to the gym. The premise of strength, the whole idea, the concept of strength is really relatively simple. But it is really effing hard to do. You know, strength is such a very, very greedy mistress. If you're going to be strong, you have to be consistent. You have to put in the time. And it's not a race. And, you know, let me tell you something. I'm a big, strong dude. I can take 300 pounds and I can get it to my chest, but I'm really trying hard to do this right. And what I'm telling you, you know, I'm as experienced a power lifter as there is. I'm an experienced as a strength athlete, you know, as there is. And I'm pretty comfortable in a lot of different arenas. And I'm going to tell you something. When I got into that warm-up area of the Olympic lifting meet, I didn't have a clue. I was as newbie a noob as you could be. And, you know, so you should pay it some respect. And I'm not unlike you with the whole CrossFit thing. At first, I was like, this is bull. You know, this is stupid. You know, and the more that I've got into it and the more that I have worked with CrossFitters, and especially my Olympic lifting coaches own a CrossFit box. And they're like-minded as well, you know, that they're really tempering the training and stuff to make sure that they don't overdo things. And I'm telling you, each discipline, it commands its own level of respect and discipline, you know, to become even remotely adept at, let alone, you know, becoming a really good athlete at it. So, you know, again, I'd be interested in what Rob has to say.
And I'm gonna get Rob to weigh in on it, because when we come back from the break, I'm gonna flip it over to him about the diet for gaining strength yet shedding body fat. But I want just a real yes or no kind of Reader's Digest summary. Is it worth for somebody to start adding in Olympic lifts, doing them sensibly, doing them, you know, with a light weight and good form and execution, if they have no interest in ever competing? Do you think that there is an overall core value to adding these movements into your routine?
I think so. As long as you, again, you must temper it. You know, if you're not going to be competitive, temper it with the fact that you're doing it as your conditioning, you know, or even cardio, you know, where it can become more cardio based, you know, and don't go crazy like, you know, I'm going to start clean and jerking 300 pounds. You know, if it's not something you're going to be competitive in, you know, then go the moderate at a maximum, go the moderate route.
Yeah.
There is some benefit. Yes.
Get the form down with some 25-pound plates.
Absolutely.
On the bar. There you go.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're going to flip the ball over to Rob Regish, and towards the end of the interview, we'll catch up with Coach Johnson's training. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy, brought to you by House of Pain. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSupps.com. MrSupps.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSupps.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSupps.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSupps.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSupps.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSupps.com. That's MrSupps.com. Cutting edge products at wholesale prices. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have.
Maybe welcome back. Okay. Now we're going to change up the discussion a little bit. Actually, I think Coach Johnson's going to want to listen to this as well because he's striving to drop some body fat. I guess, Coach Johnson, you're doing it because it means a difference in weight class. Is that why?
Yeah. The big thing is, and I'll do this real quickly. When I totaled 2,400, that was basically the pinnacle for me. And, you know, as I'm, you know, becoming in my latter 40s, I decided that it was time to take some weight off. Then I decided, well, you know, a good goal for me would be to, you know, diet down to the 308 weight class and try to total elite. So that's, that's kind of where okay. I'm at with it. So that's what I'm trying to
do. But now it's pretty well understood that if you're not eating enough, you're not going to be as strong. So, Rob Regish, this is a question you get all the time. This is really something that you've developed a knack for helping people with, especially in the blueprint. Is it possible to continue to either maintain or gain strength while cutting into body fat?
It is. It certainly depends on the particular discipline you're talking about, meaning at the one end of the spectrum, you've got people that do body weight exercise who are certainly going to get a lot stronger by virtue of the fact that it's their own weight that they're lifting.
Right.
So on the other end of the spectrum, you've got a super heavyweight power lifter, and there's a reason why those guys hold the biggest totals. You know, the biggest body mass, lean body mass, builds the biggest totals. But I think it's fair to say that our business, our industry, our athletes need to move beyond the old school, which was you just, in order to lose body fat, you progressively lower your calories. And we've had this discussion before, but that trick, if you want to call it that, works because as you do so, you lower insulin. Insulin levels will come down steadily. The problem with that is there's an anti-catabolic effect in the beginning that ultimately fails with time. So this gradual lowering of calories over a period of time will ultimately result in loss of too much muscle, and then the body will start to hoard body fat. And of course, we know there are much better ways around that today, and we can certainly get into a discussion about that if you'd like.
Okay, so really what you're saying is, regardless of how you lower insulin, whether it's from the choices of macronutrients in your diet or from just abstaining from eating as often or as much intake-wise, the end result will be an increase in utilization of body fat as a potential substrate. So,
right.
So what you're – and I want to make sure I'm clear on this too. So let's say we use the old formula, you know, 11 calories per pound of body weight, a 200-pound male. He's got basically you have 2,200 calories a day. This is his maintenance level. If he wants to eat, if he wants to lose body fat, he has to eat less than that. This is the mantra of many, many people out there today still, in order to be in a caloric deficit. But what you're saying is if the selection of foods is appropriate, this person can actually eat 2,500 calories a day and still reduce body fat and obviously not lose strength. Is that what you're saying?
In effect, yes. More than the selection of foods, I think it boils down, like a lot of things in life, to timing. And I'll offer up the example of intermittent fasting as an example. You can look at Adolfo Cerami, who at one point was on an extremely, extremely low-calorie diet. But where was he getting most of those quality calories? He was getting them in, around, and immediately post-workout, and his insulin surge was coming then. For the rest of the day, insulin was kept low, and that's where his fat loss occurred. Now, compare and contrast that with somebody who goes from a 2,100-calorie-a-day diet, or 22, down to, 1,800 calories or 1,700 calories
right,
a day,
right.
Every day, every week, for the next 8 weeks. Yeah, they're going to lose weight for about a month until their metabolism slows down, their basal metabolic rate slows down to match the new energy intake. That's the old way of doing things. I'll go so far as to say the dumb way of doing things, and it doesn't work. And I'll offer up the proof in the form of the inevitable, which is a plateau.
Yeah, and everybody does plateau.
Right.
It's interesting because Adel Moussa talked about we last week's adversity. We actually discussed the French paradox, the diet, because we did a whole show on wine. Actually, alcohol consumption last week. And he offered up the fact that the Europeans eat a very small meal, if anything, in the morning. On average, they eat a cup of coffee and what is equal to a biscuit. And then they have their first big meal at lunchtime. So technically, they are at least semi-fasted throughout the morning. And they are really adhering to an intermittent fast every single day of their lives. And they tend to be leaner than Americans. So it does make some sense what you're saying. So how would you propose someone like me? I trained 5 days in a row. Today is my first day off. All I did was fasted morning cardio of 20 minutes this morning because I needed a break today. Lay out my plan. I train first thing in the morning. I do fasted cardio around 6 a.m. Then I train generally around 7:30, 8. So give me an example of how I could eat to maintain or even gain strength while cutting into my body fat.
Well, I think it boils down to two strategies, one on a daily basis and second, let's say, on a weekly. On a daily basis, you're training in a fasted state, which is a good thing because we know from some of I think you referenced an old show.
I've done so many shows that people should just stop worrying about losing muscle mass and training fasted. It's just ridiculous.
Right.
You know?
I mean, if anything, your body is upregulating its ability to store glucose and protein, which is to say nothing of ingesting essential amino acids during training to offset that, etc. But needless to say, shortly after that workout, and research points to a window of opportunity that exists for about 2 hours where the enzyme glycogen synthase, which is just one, is jumping and is stuffing whatever carbohydrates you eat into the muscle as glycogen. So I usually counsel my athletes to get anywhere between 25 and up to 50% of their calories for the day, and most of the carbs for the day, during those 2 hours, during that 2-hour window.
Right.
Now,
do you adhere to the what I've always done is not immediately after my workout, but generally I want my body to kind of relax a little bit after being trashed, and obviously yeah. I sauna and shower and then come to the studio. So I generally have my first meal about a half hour after, and then I try to have my next meal about an hour from there. Does that sound like a sensible breaking my fast post workout meal approach?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're still getting the nutrients in within that time period. The other point I'd like to make is this. Let's say, for example, the total calories for that day are below your maintenance level, whatever that is. Let's say so your maintenance is 3,000, and on that particular day you're taking in, 2,500 calories. Now, that's going to be an effective strategy for 2 to 3 weeks. And recall, you know, I had mentioned before, where the body will downregulate its basal metabolic rate to match energy intake, even given the smart timing that you're using.
Right.
The third week, or whenever you start to feel your body plateau, is a refeed week. And when I say refeed, I simply mean going back to your maintenance caloric level until such time as your body's metabolism, BMR, is starting to hum along again, at which point you can return to the strategy of eating below maintenance and fat loss will be most efficient.
Okay, now wait a minute. So I want to ask you a question. Now, these 2 days, for the next 2 days, I'm considered off. I'm just going to do morning cardio, 20 minutes, nothing heroic. Is it wise for me to, as in a microcycle approach, to start eating higher calories today and tomorrow? Or is that a big mistake that's just going to pack on fat and counteract what I've done the previous 5 days?
No, in fact, usually what I counsel athletes in that are on a recomp, which it sounds like you are, I am a big fan of giving the body 100% of what it needs, meaning caloric maintenance calories on training days, timed smartly, okay? But on your off days, you zag down, if you will, to 90, 80, or 70%
okay.
of maintenance of calories because you're doing fastest state cardio.
See,
right?
And this is the mistake I've been making, Wade, too. I mean, this is what I've been doing. The past 3 weeks, I've been training a minimum of 5 days and every day hitting every body part and bringing it to failure, but doing it sensibly, managing fatigue, getting good sleep, fasted training, post-workout meals are my big bolus meals, and then tapering off in the evenings, last meal around 7 p.m., start all over again, hit my first meal again the next day at 11. And I got to tell you, I'm getting stronger. My muscles are growing. I'm getting thicker. I've got more muscle on me than I've had in a long time. But the mistake I'm making is the 2 days off, I'm going, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I am going to totally, I'm going to do 5,000 calories a day. I'm going to drink a half a gallon of cream every day, and I'm going to totally explode with muscle. And you know what? I'm not making the inroads into fat loss that I thought I would by now. And this is why, obviously, because what I should be doing on these days is fueling the body for the amount of work that it's doing and not overfueling it.
Yeah, it's really, if you think about it, it's just logical. You know, your off days, you're performing cardio. If you do that in the caloric deficit, it just makes sense. You're going to burn fat on those days more aggressively. Now, when you do return to your training days, yeah, that's when you're going to have your maintenance caloric, you know, intake again for the day. But again, where are you getting most of those calories from? You're getting them when your body needs them and will store them most efficiently in, around, and immediately post-workout within that two-hour period.
Yeah, this makes perfect sense. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to discuss this a little further, and then we'll catch up with Coach Wade Johnson's training as he prepares to embark again on a competition in December, and we will all be there, if not physically, in spirit and mind with him, rooting him on. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy brought to you by House of Pain. We'll be right back.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomeres. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar, not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Welcome back. The roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. All right, so Rob, let's summarize. It is possible to continue to be strong and to continue to gain strength while reducing body fat accumulations. And the primary mover of this process is not necessarily caloric intake, but meal timing.
Timing of your food. I'm absolutely convinced, and you know, I think we touch on this Tuesday. You know, one of the biggest fallacies out there is calories in, calories out.
Yeah.
You know, how many people do you know that eat like a bird that are still fat?
Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people.
You know, and it matters. It matters. I think where those calories come from matters. But most importantly, where you get them.
Well, I'll suggest something else that is intuitive. Okay, when you use critical thinking skills, if you train fasted, and I mean train, like most of our audience knows what we talk about when we talk. We're not talking about going and doing Pilates or jazzercise. We're talking about lifting weight, putting the body into a hermetic response to resistance training. I predict that the large meals you eat thereafter are going to be tilted towards protein synthesis. And I would say that if you are not training, but you're just fasting and then having a huge meal to break your fast, I would venture to say that the large portion of it is going to be put into producing body fat. And I have no science to prove that. I would have to turn to the brilliant Adele Moussa to prove me right or wrong. But it just makes perfect sense. We know there was a research study done 5 or 6 years ago, and I think it was from McMaster's University, but I could be wrong, that showed that 10 minutes of resistance training shifted substrate utilization and repartitioning dramatically as a result of the postprandial effects of a meal. So that if you had a big meal and if you trained for 10 minutes, did something, I don't know, you know, something heavy, something grueling, maybe deadlifted for 10 minutes, and then had a meal, what your body did with that meal was totally different than if you just had that same meal without the 10 minutes of training first.
And that's the beauty of it. It doesn't take much. Doesn't take much.
Yeah. All right, let's catch up with Coach Wade Johnson. So, Coach Johnson, I know that you didn't necessarily back off of your training, but the situation that occurred with the bar coming off your back pushed you back a little bit as far as training goes. You didn't necessarily hurt yourself, but you were sore, right?
Yeah, the knee is still tender, but and I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, I'm just constantly in the gym and I'm training the Olympic lifting and competing in the Olympic lifting meet. Basically, I had trained for 16 weeks and that was to get me where I felt like I needed to be conditioning wise and training wise to prepare the rest of the way for the meet in the first weekend of December. And, you know, so it's basically starting a new training cycle at that point. And, I squatted Tuesday. I'm not sure if I posted it or not. Worked up to 800 pounds in full gear and then did my squat assistance. So, raw wise, everything, you know, without gear is feeling good. The Olympic lifts are feeling good. And,
You're still on track.
Yeah, I'm still on track. And really what I'm going to look at, is seeing how the knee, you know, cooperates. I really had 900 in mind, but I will temper that if in the next couple of months that the knee is not improving where it needs to be, you know, making sure the whole goal of this meet was one, to lose the weight and get down to 308 and then to total elite, you know, so I'll temper my numbers to make sure that, you know, barring any issue, that I total elite. Right. Even if that means not squatting 900 pounds.
So how did you do in the Olympic lift competition?
Well, I went very, very conservative. Like I said, I wanted to do the lifts as technically sound as I could. And so I was very, very conservative. I snatched 75. I missed 80, and that was the thing that I realized is the judging was super, super tight, and that was what Coach Sirach warned me of, you know, to make sure that you didn't flex anything, that you were locked out, because they were calling press out on stuff that looked like it was a good lift. And so on my third attempt snatch with 80 kilos, and again, I've done this in training numerous times, and I've snatched a great deal more, just never in front of judges, and in the auditorium, it was a very different experience. But when I caught the snatch in the hole, I was so concerned about my upper body and my hands and shoulders being tight that I didn't, you know, I took for granted my lower body. My knees pitched forward and, you know, I couldn't hold on to the weight. And it was a weight that I, you know, snatched easily. I just couldn't hold on to it.
Right.
And at that point, you know, the knee was tender, and so Coach Sirach said, look, there's no style points. He goes, I know you're trying to do, you know, the lifts, you know, technically. He goes, power clean it, you know, power clean it, get it up there, save the knee, you know, live to fight another day. So I did 85, 90, and 95 on the clean and jerk, and again, we went very conservative, and I would manage to medal in the super heavyweights, and that was in the open. So, you know, the whole goal was, like I tell everybody with powerlifting, the only goal for your first powerlifting meet is to survive, not bomb, and get a total.
Right.
And that's what I did. And then, once I started looking at the numbers going, you know, what is it going to take at the master's level for me to qualify for a national caliber meet? And come to find out, you know, about 25 more kilos, which, you know, I think some of that is already in the tank. So we'll look at next year possibly qualifying for some of the national level, you know, contest and seeing if I can, you know, make it to that point. But as far as the powerlifting training, everything feels pretty good, and the deadlift training is going well. So I, you know, based on how everything is going, barring any issue or the knee getting worse, you know, totaling elite is very doable.
Yeah.
And I should, let me add, because, you know, Rob said some really, really cool stuff. I'm because I would eat stuff, you know, certain things right before I would go downstairs and train, because I trained so early in the morning. And when I really started getting more serious about my weight loss, all of my training, all the weights that you see that I lift are in a fasted state. I do not eat anything for the day until after my training is done.
That's cool. That's really cool. That's impressive, too. Rob Regish, how you doing?
Good, terrific. You know, I just, it's a timely discussion because I learned this lesson the hard way. I put 10 pounds on because I just wanted to bulk back up again. And boy, did that show up fast in my body weight movements. I, you know, I went from being able to do 10 handstand push-ups, no problem, to barely being able to do 2.
Yeah.
So, you know, it becomes a game of what is your game. You know, in powerlifting, that additional weight may very well benefit your lifts, particularly in the bench press. But if your game is, you know, body weight movements, handstand push-ups, one-arm push-ups, and especially something where you're lifting 100% of your body weight, like the one-arm chin-up, you can imagine what an extra 10 pounds means. Now, you know, I don't care if that is muscle. It's going to take, assuming that was all 10 pounds of muscle, and it wasn't, but even if it was, you know, it's going to take your body and central nervous system time to acclimate to that new lean body mass.
Yeah, and let's face it, all the muscle deposition isn't in your right arm and right shoulder and right lat. That's effectively pulling you up in that one-arm chin-up or pull-up. It's spread out across your body, so it's not a linear deposition of strength. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things – go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob.
That's okay. Thanks, Wade. One of the things that you need to do is be honest with yourself and say, what is my goal? And will, you know, will gaining or losing lean body mass or body fat help me achieve that goal? You know, in the classic example, a mix of 10 pounds of, you know, weight gain, 5 pounds of fat, 5 pounds of muscle is still going to help you in the bench press.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt you
In the body weight. We've come to the end of the show. Did you want to weigh in on something there, Wade, before we pull up?
One of the things just to keep in mind is athletes are looking to either put on weight or take weight off. I read this in an article, and I can't reference it right off the top of my head, but when you go down, it's easier to go up, but either any time you go into a new weight class, they say the average to mature into that new weight class is a year.
Wow.
So keep that in, you know, and I think it's different. The more experienced the athlete is, you know, the less time it is. But even at an intermediate level, especially when you're dieting down, it takes a year to mature into that weight class. So, you know, that it's, and again, this goes all the way back to the things that Rob and I preach and preach and preach. Rob and I obviously come from, you know, our pathway to strength is obviously different, but the fact remains what is really consistent. This is not a race. I mean, it's just, it's like the, you know, the story, you know, the tortoise and the hare and who wins, you know, who wins at the end.
Right.
And, you know, so always be patient, always be consistent.
And on that note, I have to bid the two of you adieu. Adele Musa is waiting in the wings to do the Subversity Science Roundup. Thank you, Coach Johnson.
Always good to be with you guys. Thanks for having
me. And thank you, Rob Regish, and we'll see you next Tuesday, right?
Likewise.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Take
great
care.
Time.
All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have Adele Musa on for the wildly popular Subversity Science Roundup. We'll be right back. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, Eco. Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Now, many of you have your ears pressed against your speakers or are pushing your earphones so deep into the inner regions of your skull just to get every single word that is going to be spoken by the brilliant Adele Moussa during this next installment of the Subversity Science Roundup. Welcome back to the show, Adele Moussa. How are you?
I'm fine. Hi, Carl.
Hi. You know, if you ever want to gush about me, you can. You can say how handsome I am, especially since you and I share some similar look, at least when I was young, and you are still young. But, you know, feel free anytime you want to, okay?
I will.
Okay. Okay, I know. He doesn't like being put on the spot like that. Okay, so let's, first, before we move on to the new science in the Roundup segment, We have to go back and talk about something that we broke the news on before many of the mainstream media outlets even picked up on it. We talked about the French study that looked at GMO Roundup Ready corn and the use of Roundup as an herbicide and its effect on the development of tumors in rats. And obviously, in science, there's never ever one side to the story. And many of, including Monsanto's spokespeople, have come out and said, this is rubbish science. They used rats that are genetically predisposed to developing tumors. This is nonsense. At the same time, while the naysayers are out there saying it's rubbish science, countries like Russia have said, as a result of this study, until we can understand more, we will not buy any genetically modified Roundup Ready corn any longer from the United States. So there's great backlash here. What is your take on what's going on? Obviously, there's a pro and con arguments going on about this French research.
Well, the first thing I thought about is that in the last installment, I already said that the study, or that I wondered about the pictures in the study, and that's not really usual to show three large scale, almost half the page of full of pictures that show rats not only in their individual parts or slices from the tissue, but rather the living or more or less living rat with a large tumor. That already showed you that the study was at least partly political. And in fact, it really hit home, and you could say that it already was a success, that we are now actually debating the issue again, because it seemed as if everything was settled, although the actual science that would have had to be done and the discussion that would have had taken place in the past already is just broke loose, as you said, with the publication of this study. And I think one major problem, not just on the anti-GMO side, but on both sides of this divide, is that it's very emotional, especially when it comes to those people who are just commenting on the studies. And I'm not just referring to person X or person Z having his own little blog, but also to commenters who are posting for at least allegedly scientific websites. And on many of those, they, especially those who are now pointing with the finger on the study and on the scientists who did the study, they are positioning themselves as the rational people and the others as the zealots. And in a way, it is right that there are a lot of people out there who have who are very emotionally involved in that and are sort of missing the point of making rational arguments that could convince the other side of their argumentation line. And this is a problem I see and I still see. But there are also good points to the debate, because there have been a handful of comments from quote-unquote real scientists, that is, colleagues of the scientists who originally published the study, or the scientists who originally published the study. And I've taken a few minutes before the show and looked at what some of them had to say. And this is in fact the case, that there are a couple of arguments that are very valid. For example, the size of the study and the extent of the study didn't allow the scientists to have more than 10 animals in a group. And this obviously reduces the significance of the results in a very, it hampers them. And this is certainly a valid point. But on the other hand, this is now taken up by many of the commenters criticizing the study based on others, on the criticism of others, who, for example, refer to the standards which are defined by it's a national institution, U.S. national institution, that provides standards for studies that to be done with respect to carcinogenic substances.
Right.
And they do this in a way that would suggest that that there was actually a study with a time scale of 24 months done which would be according to those standards. But this is not the case, and therefore the actual question must be, why isn't there a study that has been conducted over the whole lifespan of rodents,
right,
which took all those standards into account, and how can you criticize someone who does at least try to come up with a reduced version of a longer study, and maybe doesn't even have the funds to do it with 200 rats or so, to have the sufficient statistical power. And this is one of the points or one of the arguments that would have to come from the other side now. And this actually, I think, what we will have to wait now, for now is an exchange of arguments and the publication of the actual data from the study, because this is a real problem also for the real experts to comment on the study. You only have, say, 2 pages in this case, I think it was 6 pages, where you can present your data, and therefore you must select it, and you can't give all the data sets. And unless the real, quote-unquote, real experts have seen the actual data and also understood the methods by which the authors of the study analyzed the data, all they can do now is rather superficial or superficial criticism. And there are a few really, really good comments, for example, from Professor Otto Leiser, who is an associate director of the Sainsbury Laboratory at the University of Cambridge. And he said, like most of the GM debate, this work has very little to do with GM. The authors of the paper do not suggest that the effects are caused by genetic modification. They describe the effects of the Roundup herbicide itself and effects that they attribute to the activity of the enzyme introduced into the Roundup-resistant maize.
Right.
And I think this is the point all the critics are actually missing, because nobody, at least not the scientists themselves, they never said we cannot do genetic modification, and genetic modification in general is bad. And that's actually also not what I said in the last week. But the problem, obviously, also in the minds of the scientists who did the original study, is that what we did via genetically modification is introduce something like a pesticide into the product,
right,
instead of spraying it all over the product. And the even common sense would tell you that if you're doing something like this, the chances that the end product is what often is called Frankenfood are obviously very much higher than if you, for example, use genetic modification to increase the amount of omega-3 fatty acids in any given product.
Okay. But I guess I fall on the zealot side, but I'm not suggesting that people not choose their poison. Okay, I'm not opposed to people smoking if they want to. I think that this is all part of the evolutionary selection pressure, and based on that, I'm saying this.
Yeah, and you're
I'm sorry.
You're very right on that, and this is actually something I found in almost every comment that they are criticizing the Californian movement for GMO labeling. And this is something I cannot understand, because if you say I have rational arguments that GMO is safe, then it's no problem that if every product carries a logo that it contains GMO. And this is, for example, nothing that is debated here in Germany. It's totally clear that everything that is meant for human consumption has a label. It has to state whether or not there's GMO in it.
But here's the point that I want to bring to the table, okay? I am not going to become a zealot. I'm not going to say GMO is bad, and I'm not going to say GMO is good. This is what I am saying. I'm saying that we have I worked on the racetrack as a very young boy, and I learned early on in life that past performances are good indicators of future performances in just about everything in life, especially when it comes to people. And what I have learned is this about the American government, Food and Drug Administration, USDA, and so on. They are too quick to rush things to market, and not enough research is done before exposing people to things that may or may not be good for them. Case in point, back in the day, doctors used to recommend people smoke cigarettes because it calmed the nerves, it helped in digestion, and it was good for you. And we know how wrong that is today. So my attitude is this. GMO is relatively new to our civilization, and I'd like to wait 100 years before I endorse it. Now, I'm not going to be around 100 years from now, but my attitude is I don't want GMO. For those of you who want it, go for it. For those of you who want to drink alcohol, I say go for it. For those of you who want to smoke cigarettes, I say go for it. Just informed consent is all I'm asking for. And at this point in time, I don't feel anybody can give us informed consent about this very new technology So I'm going to sit on the sidelines and let everybody else eat it. That's my opinion on the whole matter.
And you will be surprised that this is actually also the argument of the majority of researchers working in this area. Most of them say GMO per se is not bad, but we will have to check for everything we produce what will be the consequences.
Right, right, and that's where I stand on it. So there you go. I should have been a scientist. Who knew? All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We've got lots of amazingly great stories to talk about today in this episode of the Subversity Science Roundup. You can get this news first by going to Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. We'll be right back with the brilliant and charming Adele Musa. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay, go on.
Take two.
I got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adel Moussa and his sidekick Carl Lenore. Okay, let's talk about something that has long been heralded as a fantastic herb supplement, traditional Chinese medicine. Every place you go, people talk about ginseng and its ability to increase health and energy. What's new in the world of ginseng?
Well, new in the world of ginseng may be an exaggeration, but there is an interesting case report based on observations in a young man who took ginseng on the advice of his grandmother, interestingly, as a way to increase his stamina and to make him stronger and more athletic. Reminds me of so many people who are taking hundreds of supplements to achieve the same thing.
Right.
And for that purpose, his grandmother, who obviously knows something about traditional Chinese medicine, had taken a preparation of ginseng, and the result for this poor boy was, for this 12-year-old Korean poor boy, was that he developed a bilateral enlargement of the breast with tenderness in the right breast. And although it's common for pubescent boys to get some sort of these detrimental effects of gynecomastia, it is not in this particular case. It became really not just annoying, but really threatening to his health. And the doctors who wrote this case report and published it, they had quite a hard time to find the reason why his hormonal values were off, and he developed this condition until they found that when they stopped him from all the medications and supplements he used, that at the very moment he stopped using this ginseng product, the symptoms retreated and he became better. And this is an interesting case, which goes to show you that you always have to keep in mind whom you are treating, or rather who you are yourself, when you're taking a supplement, even something that is generally considered safe and has maybe even worked for other purposes. For example, ginseng is also used to battle prostate cancer.
Right, right.
And has actually some beneficial data in this regard. But if you are dealing with a pubescent boy, you must know that at his age, his hormonal system is not really balanced out on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's really overshooting and overproducing in a way. And one of the side effects of ginseng is apparently that on the one hand, it reduces the conversion of testosterone to DHT, which would, for example, counter the negative effects of estrogen on the breast tissue again. And on the other hand, it appears to hamper the clearance of estrogen from the liver, at least to a certain degree. And when you're in puberty and overproducing all sorts of hormones, and especially also DHEA, which is highly susceptible, or its byproduct is actually highly susceptible, convert then to testosterone to estrogen.
Right.
Then you can easily set the hormonal balance off, and the result is, as it was in this case, breast enlargement. And I think many people are not really aware of the fact that you can get those nasty bitch tits at the SBA also.
No. The name that I like for them the best for men is
testicles.
Chesticles. Yes, chesticles.
Yeah. Okay. Chesticles. Yes. You can get those chesticles. Also, not really because your hormones are overproducing, but rather because you are not clearing them effectively.
Right.
And this, for example, it is known that many drugs which actually only influence the liver or even damage the liver can induce as a side effect testicles. And even alcoholism can, because it's damaging the liver. And this points us to a point that is really not there's not enough focus, especially among the physique enthusiasts, is the effect the liver has on your hormonal system, because on the one hand it participates in the conversion of many hormones, and on the other hand it is also the major organ that makes them excretable. And whenever you block, for example, the excretion of estrogen, it is possible that estrogen piles up in the body because it's the last active hormone in the chain. And in this case, I would suspect that it was a double effect. It was the reduction in 5-alpha reductase, that is the conversion of testosterone to DHT, which would then, first of all, take away testosterone from the aromatase enzyme, and on the other hand, counter the effects of estrogen. And on the and the second effect was probably that the estrogen was not cleared out at the rate it would have to, so that the boy developed this condition.
Now, since you invoked the word prostate in this discussion, can we move on to the issues related to prostate treatments for men who have BPH and even mild modalities of cancer in the prostate? Quite often, when men develop prostate issues, the treatments are quite barbaric in the area of androgen deprivation therapy or removal of the prostate, which usually leaves men completely impotent at best. What about the prostate? What's new in science about prostate treatment?
Well, I think that most of the listeners will be aware of the discussion around PSA tests and how they increase the amount of treatments, and some people say this is a clear-cut benefit for the men, and others say no. In many cases, it was not even necessary to remove the prostate. And I was happy to see that a couple of days ago, scientists published a paper which actually looked at the data that is available now on the effects of prostate removal, based on an initial finding that would suggest that there is cancerous growth in there. And they checked, first of all, how much longer the men who got the prostate removed immediately would live compared to those who had the prostatectomy done later, and first of all were just the symptoms were treated at first. And what they found is that the overall life expectancy with immediate radical prostatectomy was only 1.8 months more than when the patients were treated with what is called active surveillance.
Right, which means you sit and wait and see how bad it gets. I actually have a cousin who is taking this approach, and I'm so proud of him because he has what they're saying is not an aggressive form of prostate cancer, and he's in his mid 60s now. And yeah. He has decided to watch and wait.
Yeah, and if he's as the average man is in this study, then the model the scientists developed says that he will live another 6.4 years at least without having to have treatment, and what all he would lose then would be 1.8 months at worst.
Okay,
at the end of his life.
Let's talk a little bit more about PSA for a second. I did a show in 2008 where prostate specific antigen was originally thought to only occur in the prostate. Now they know that it also occurs in mammary tissue in women. I did a show in 2008 where they identified what was always thought as PSA only for prostate is actually apparent in other tissue as well. And then in 2009, we did a show with, I believe his name was Dr. Paul Godley, who came on and wrote a position paper for the Journal of the American Cancer Society saying that androgen levels had nothing to do with the development of prostate cancer, and wanted doctors to stop prescribing androgen deprivation therapy to their patients. So Is PSA meaningful at all? I know that PSAs can be elevated immediately after sex or after orgasm. Is PSA meaningful at all in any way, shape, or form, in your humble opinion, Adele?
Well, it is certainly meaningful. It is the first hint, but just based on one PSA test, I, for example, would not have even had my prostate punctuated to get a tissue sample, because this alone has significant side effect risks. So as you said, if you just have one PSA reading, that is certainly not enough. On the other hand, if you have consistently high PSA readings, this is certainly a marker that should be of concern. But there has been some progress, I think, probably since the last show you did. And when I read the original study we just talked about, I tried to find out what's the latest on PSA, because it also interested me. And I found one of the latest reviews which goes quite into detail on how exact this is, and there are a couple of figures which are pretty interesting. For example, that 50% of the new prostate cancer diagnosis, which actually result from those PSA tests now being done regularly, detect a tumor that was unlikely to surface clinically in the absence of PSA screening. Now, to put that into perspective, or to really say what this means, is that if they didn't have had the PSA test and later the diagnosis and all this stuff, the mean would have died from a natural death, and nobody would ever have realized that they had a small benign tumor in their prostate. So it depends on which experts you are asking. But one of the latest reviews estimates that the overdiagnosis, and in this case overdiagnosis includes existing cancer, but ones that are so small or so benign that they wouldn't have required treatment, is in the range of 20% to 42%. So the PSA test alone, and actually most scientists acknowledge this, is not sufficient to make a conclusion. There's now still a debate whether the next step is already to take a tissue sample and to analyze this, whether it's worth doing that, or whether you do not want to risk, first of all, the psychological distress, because you're afraid of possible loss of bodily function or pain and suffering after the procedure, or whether it's better to continue with other tests first. And in this particular review, there are a couple of new tests that have entered the scene only in the last years, and one I think is probably one that is also available to most people, and it's also non-invasive and can be done via urine sampling just as easily as the PSA test. Interestingly, its name is PCA3 test, and it measures the amount of a certain RNA in the urine, which is also almost prostate specifically. Almost means that in 90% of the cases it comes from prostate cancer tissue. And alone this PCA3 test would not be reliable as well. But if you combine both, you can have a much better diagnosis before you even start cutting around down there. So if it's by any means possible to get that done, this would be an option. And then, which is something that is still in development, are pretty accurate gene tests. But unfortunately, those really also depend on the type of cancer you have, because every cancer has a slightly different genetic makeup, and therefore not all cancers will be detected. For example, one of the already approved assays has a pretty cryptic acronym. I think it's worth that I spell it out now. But just as an example, it's able to find 50% of the cancers.
Right.
So if you were able to get several of these tests working, these gene tests, I think this is really the future of cancer diagnosis, especially for the prostate, but also for other cancers, I would say. And to cut a long story short, at the moment, the PSA test is still the first thing you should do, especially if you suspect that there's something wrong. The next step for me personally would be the PCA3 test. And when both in conjunction suggest that there's something wrong, then I would not. I would certainly take the risk and check out whether it's a benign or even an already metastatic tumor. Because if that is the case, then you have to act fast, or as fast as possible. if you then find out that it's either a very small or a totally benign cancer, then you have at least a position in which, and now we are coming back to the topic of the first 5 minutes, you are in the position where you can make your own decision. You have informed consent, so to say, because you really know what's going on. And you need your doctors also to tell you about the risks and the benefits. And therefore, the first study I mentioned, that is the one which now analyzed how much longer will I live if I do this, and what's the advantage if I do that. This must become available in a form that patients can understand, and every patient who is confronted with the decision, whether he wants his prostate to remove now or whether he wants to go the same approach as your friend or relative does, that would actually be the perfect fit. Although I suspect that many people will complain that this is a decision they don't want to take. And this is another story which would require a whole show to talk about responsibility for your own health.
And I'll tell you something that Dr. Godley spoke about when I interviewed him in 2009 about the position paper published in the Journal of the American Cancer Society. And I said he showed that after reviewing all of the relevant studies out there, that there was no direct correlation between prostate cancer and androgen levels of any type. No DHT, no testosterone, no DHEA, nothing. Okay. So then I said to him at the end of the interview, I said, did you find any correlation between anything and the occurrence of prostate cancer? And as any scientist said, well, we need to do more research. He said, however, and don't forget, this is epidemiological research, folks. So you know how that goes, but he said that we have to do more research, he says, but there seems to be an inverse correlation between sex hormone binding globulin and the development of prostate cancer. So I said, well, inverse meaning the lower your sex hormone binding globulin is, the higher the probability of prostate cancer, because I thought that makes perfect sense because you have a lot more active hormones in your body. He says, no, the opposite. The higher your sex hormone binding globulin is, the higher your probability of prostate cancer. And that struck me as counterintuitive. And now fast forward to a study that I read, I guess it was last year, that is now trying to correlate high sex hormone binding globulins to sleep apnea and the dysfunction that occurs in the throat that allows the soft palate to cave in. So sex hormone binding globulin is not looked at with any real interest, in my humble opinion, about its potential corollary or causative effects on disease.
Well, there are also certain studies that suggest that it's not the carrier we are thinking it is, but it's actually also a molecule that helps docking the hormones. And what should also be mentioned is that nothing drives SHBG higher than estrogen. Estrogen is the main hormone carried by SHBG, and usually when you see a man who has high estrogen levels, he usually has high SHBG levels as well.
Yeah, we have to take a break. When we come back, can we talk about this research on reversing early stage prostate cancer in hypertensive patients? Do you think it's relevant to the discussion?
It is, of course.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So sit tight. You're listening to the Supversity Science Roundup with the brilliant Adel Moussa. Go to his website. It's the single best blog on the internet, bar none. You will amaze your friends with your intelligence. Who knows? You may even be inspired to go back to school so that you can produce the type of writing that Adel does at subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. We'll be right back.
Check this out.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at Iron Mag Labs. Labs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa, and I am his happy sidekick. I'm happy because I'm practicing happiness skills that I learned yesterday on my own show. I'm smiling, I feel good, I'm healthy, I look younger. Okay. Anyway.
I'm smiling at the moment as well.
Yeah, you're probably you're smiling because I'm a dummy. I'm funny.
Well, not really, no. Funny in a way, but not dumb.
Okay. All right, so reversing early-stage prostate cancer in hypertensive patients. First of all, is prostate cancer different in hypertensive patients than in non-hypertensive patients?
I don't think so. I think this was a... Well, you couldn't really say it's a coincidence because I think the bad metabolic condition the patient was in actually precipitated him to develop prostate cancer. And this, as a sidekick, it's also a factor that increases SHBG, is high body fat levels, and bad dietary habits and not exercising enough. On the other hand, if you exercise excessively, usually your SHBG drops so low that you are actually putting yourself at danger of decreasing your androgen levels because all your testosterone is floating around freely and nothing is bound up. So you're suppressing yourself with your free testosterone levels.
Wow.
And in some cases, it can go so low that many of the standard measures which actually calculate the testosterone values are not longer valid because they are based on the scientists use sort of a graph with a model, and they go along the line on the graph, and if you are on one end or on the other of the SHBG standard values, And then the measure is no longer accurate. Just as an aside, if people are looking at very awkward testosterone levels, they should make sure that it's measured and not calculated.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't even want to say the name of this natural therapy because people are going to think it's funny, but it's called a case study on nutritional cum, C-U-M, phytotherapy. Where did the cum come from? I mean, that's obviously a slang word for ejaculatory fluids from a man. But did it mean something different in this particular study?
Actually, it's not really explained in the abstract why it's called cum. Phytotherapy. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe I overread it.
Let's stay away from it. But anyway, this is really interesting. So this gentleman who was diagnosed with early stage prostate cancer decided not to go the traditional route of therapies, but instead went for this nutritional phytotherapy approach. Can you describe the phytotherapy approach? It's really amazing.
Well, in the end, it's really amazing because people will shortly notice that much of what's part of this approach is what we are recommending on the radio show here almost every time. For example, the first staple was moderate exposure to morning sunlight, and everybody who has read the circadian rhythm series at the Subversity over the past weeks or followed that. Will be aware of how important sunlight is. And the argumentation line here is basically that the morning sunlight, A, sets the rhythm right, the hormonal and metabolic rhythm, and B, it will help the patient to get his vitamin D levels up. And as we will see later on, he actually did manage to get his vitamin D levels up. But this is only one part of the whole protocol, and it goes on with exercising. 30 minutes a day of moderate intensity exercise, such as walking. So this is actually basically what you would expect every normal human being to do the least every day. But unfortunately, many people, and I suppose this guy in his former life didn't either, many people don't get so much exercise every day. And it's not really like you have to go on the treadmill. You can just walk the dog and go to the supermarket or just take the stairs so that it sums up to your 30 minutes of exercise. And nutrition-wise, he was advised to incorporate fatty fish, nuts, and seeds. And a special emphasis was set on Brazil nuts, and we've been talking about that in the last episode, that they are a particularly rich source of selenium. And alternatively, the doctor said, if you can't get your Brazil nuts or are not sure whether they are high in selenium, most are high enough, I would say, you would have to take selenium yeast. Which would yield 150 micrograms of selenium every day. And that was also something we just mentioned in the last episode. Then organic, and interestingly, the doctor actually mentioned that it has to be organic. Organic leafy vegetables, citrus and berries, and lycopene-rich food. And when I read that, I thought about Alisa's dried dried tomatoes.
Yes.
Because those are particularly rich in lycopene. When you dry them, they are losing their vitamin C content, but the lycopene stays intact. And due to the removal of water, on a weight basis, you get much more lycopene per serving, you could say.
Yes.
Because when the water is out, then the lycopene stays still in.
Right.
And lycopene is obviously one of the most important nutrients also to prevent cancer. And I should say this cancer treatment is actually also the best way to prevent cancer in the first place. This goes on with drinking yellow or green tea. I think everybody will be aware of the benefits. Then he lists a couple of spices, and those are all common names listeners of Superhuman Radio will be familiar with. This is garlic, ginger, curcumin and hot chili. All of them have anti-tumor effects and help reduce inflammation in general. Then we have berries and citrus fruits, and in this case, not for all phytonutrients, but specifically for one which is called myricetine, and it is an antioxidant, and that's mainly found in, guess what, blueberries and blackberries. Also one of the most frequently heard food items here. And you can also find them, by the way, in red onions, and I've only recently had a post on Subversity comparing red onions and regular white onions in terms of their ability to restore glutathione, which is the major antioxidant enzyme in your body. And the red ones were, I think, at least 1.5 times more potent in doing so. So if you like them and can get them, pick the red onions instead of the white ones. Then we are going on with supplements and real supplements. In this case, he was recommended to take zinc in a citrate form because of the higher bioavailability of the citrate salt of zinc, but not in hilarious amounts as many bodybuilders take it, but just 2 times per day, 12.5 milligrams. So this is 50 milligrams would be the RDA, that is what the government will tell you you need per day, and this guy was taking 25 instead. In addition, obviously, to what he's already getting in his diet. And another common theme, mixed tocopherols, that is a mixed form of vitamin E, a natural form, and a couple of herbals. I don't want to mention all of them. I will publish a list later, and in fact, I've used that this is a live show and just posted the outcomes in terms of body composition as a graph on the Subversity page as well as your Facebook page, so people who are listening live can go there and check out what will be next on the list, that is looking at what happened to this guy when he fulfilled this protocol. And one thing among the herbals I still want to mention is that among them is nothing else but ginseng. And guess why? Because it inhibits DHT, and it can help, or at least there are a few studies, which show that it inhibits further growth of prostate carcinoma.
But now, you also point out in this list that you have a mixed tocopherols, but even a complete vitamin E supplement with all the tocopherols and the minute amounts of tocotrienols seems to reduce the 5-alpha reductase, which is responsible for taking testosterone and turning it into DHT, or even it actually takes DHEA and turns it into DHT. It seems that vitamin E can have this same anti-DHT effect, correct?
It can, but interestingly, vitamin E has also anti-estrogen effects. So it appears rather that that vitamin E, at least if you take it in not in hilarious amounts, and this guy was advised to take 400 IUs. This is much, but I think this is still tolerable. Some people recommend even higher doses, and in this case, these are mixed tocopherols and tocotrienols. That is, you don't have only the synthetic form of vitamin E you usually get, or you get in most of the cheap supplements, which puts you at risk of pushing the other vitamin E's as on the side. So I think that for many of the vitamins, which are mainly there to reduce inflammation, they have a rather normalizing effect on the hormonal system. I wouldn't recommend to take overdoses of vitamin E for everything, especially because you could just start bleeding if you're perceptible to that. In general, vitamin E has been shown to reduce estrogen and DHT, and this suggests that it rather normalizes the situation and does not really cause an overshoot of one for the other.
I want to just go on to the short list of the things to avoid, because I find this very, very interesting. There's a very, very short list of things to avoid in this nutritional phytotherapy that reversed this fella's cancer, his prostate cancer. Interestingly enough, he was told to avoid calcium supplements and foods fortified in calcium. That one, I didn't understand why that would be. Can you elucidate that at all?
Well, you didn't hear the connection between high calcium levels and prostate cancer.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the main arguments that's brought forward against calcium supplementation, that there are relatively well-done studies that suggest that high calcium intake, especially from supplements, is associated with higher risk of prostate cancer.
Well, I didn't know that. I get all my calcium from raw milk. The other three were just like duh, no-brainers for me. You know, Oils that oxidize easily, such as corn and sunflower, cooking with them because they become rancid when you cook with those types of oils. Coconut oil is a better choice, or raw unpasteurized butter, which are much more tolerant to heat. Smoking, yeah, I think, you know, that's a no-brainer. But the next one is one of my favorite new penchants to bang on, alcohol. You mean removing alcohol helped this guy reverse his cancer?
Well, you don't know if he was a moderate drinker, but in any case, if your health is already compromised, thinking that alcohol will restore it is certainly not a good idea. As we have pointed out in the alcohol show, is that even the experts who are recommending moderate alcohol intake usually say that it's probably a hormetic effect that's taking place there. And hormesis can only work if your body is not already overtaxed. And I think you have dug up a very interesting study related to heart disease, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. One that links atrial arrhythmias to moderate alcohol consumption. And you know what? People are drinking more alcohol than ever. We know that. Doctors are telling their patients to drink alcohol. I have to say, an organization that I love that has done more for health than any organization I know, Life Extension Foundation, keeps publishing pro-alcohol research.
Because it fits in so nicely with selling resveratrol.
Well, I know, and you know what? It's like this recent study shows that there's a linkage between arrhythmias. Arrhythmias have become so commonplace today that we have commercials for pharmaceutical drugs to control arrhythmias now. And guess what? Moderate amounts of alcohol can cause that. And Adele, I have confided in you that part of the issue that I have developed with my heart, I told you early on, I suspect it's because of my love affair with red wine with dinner at every night.
So, yeah, it's certainly possible, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's becoming more and more possible for me to believe that now, especially with some of this research that's coming out that shows the changes in cardiomyocytes as a result of what is considered healthy amounts of alcohol. So,
yeah, you got your share of hormetic stress by exercising every day, or almost every day. So you don't need hormetic stress from alcohol in addition to that.
Exactly. And like I've said before, if you want to live a high-performance lifestyle, you got to get these things out. If I was the average schlub that goes into the gym and does 40 minutes of cardio while watching CNN, then goes over to the machines and puts the pin on 60 pounds and pushes for a while, I probably wouldn't notice any changes in my heart until the day I died. But because I'm, you know, hoisting heavy weight, my heart rate is getting up there, the hemodynamic pressures are getting up there, my heart's going, hey, stupid, pay attention. And so that's what you have to do. We have to take a break. When we come back, we've got lots more to talk about. This is the Subversity Science Roundup with the brilliant Adele Moussa. Go to his website, Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com today. We'll be right back.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharge immediately. Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MrSups.com. Cutting-edge products
products at wholesale prices.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Suits for the park girls go round the outside. Round the outside.
There he is, Slim Shady. My man, Eminem. What a brilliant, brilliant rapper he is. His lyrics are the best. Okay, welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Moussa. Okay, Adele. Where do we go from here?
Well, we just finished up on the prostate cancer, on the guy with prostate cancer, just to get this out there, because this really worked magically for him. And after only 4 months on retesting, and this was not just the PSA test, but they did another tissue sample, or got another tissue sample, and found that the initial finding, the cancer diagnosis was already, or the cancer was already no longer present in June, and he still stayed on track and continued his journey to July, that were 4 months overall then. And on month 4, his PSA level were not just out of the danger zone, but well within the reference ranges. And his triglycerides had improved, also went down to the reference range. His HbA1c, a marker of insulin resistance, was going down and borders already the reference range. His blood pressure was reduced. His muscle mass had improved. His visceral fat and his total body fat had dropped, and his general weight was lower.
Now, think. I want to emphasize something here. His visceral fat, his total body fat, went down. His muscle mass went up, and we don't know what was he doing. Any resistance training, or was he just adhering to the prescription of walking 30 minutes a day? Do you have any idea of that, or was that even elucidated?
Maybe
in the study?
He started up training, but actually the only thing mentioned in was that he adhered to this protocol. So I suggest that this was all he was doing. You must say that he was no athlete before, so 30 minutes of quote-unquote exercise every day was real progress for him.
Right.
But I think the main point was were the changes in the diet and the changes in his general habits, like going out in the sun, being out and being active in general. And I think the main message also is that he started out to get healthier, and he got leaner on the way. And far too many people confuse that. They start to try to get leaner and forget about their health in their quest to get leaner and ripped and look like a magazine cover. And later on, they end up as a health wreck and will never reach their goals, because when you're not healthy, you can't look healthy.
Yeah, it's really, really a good point. Amazing. So he cured his own cancer, and he got healthy, and he looked better. He had more muscle, less fat. I mean, just it's what we talk about on the show constantly. And, you know, again, it's counterintuitive to think that you can do these types of things through nutrition, especially if you believe in what the medical orthodoxy tells you, that nutrition has nothing to do with the etiology of disease, and it's just not true. Okay. Yeah. Great story.
This one, if you're interested in the results, and I will also post the exact protocol later, but Benjamin Thomas must have been listening live, because he has already liked the post, which is now available both on Carl's webpage as well as the Superhuman Radio channel on Facebook. So you can take a look at the results there. Yeah.
Okay, so where do we go from here, Adele Musa?
I would say we were just talking about exercising and getting healthy,
right,
and improving your body composition. That reminds me of another trial I have hit upon, and that was dealing actually with the type of exercise you are doing. And in this case, what the guy was doing, that is just getting 30 minutes of walking in, is already good if you have not done anything before. But what would have been even better would have been, instead of continuously doing interval walking. And you pointed out before to me that you feel that interval training is really coming back, didn't you?
You know, interval training continues to ebb and flow its interest in people. I mean, but when I first started in my journey, now back from 1998, there was discussions of high-intensity training. Then it kind of goes away. Then it kind of comes back. But the one thing is for sure, no matter whose research you look at, there is a different value to the effects of high-intensity cardiovascular training than there is to the long, slow, arduous walking. It's a different thing entirely.
This is exactly what the study from the University of Copenhagen, which is ahead of print, printed in the next issue of the journal. They did a 4-month intervention trial, and the only thing the people had to do is they had to walk 5 sessions per week for 60 minutes. So this is longer than the previous study, and half of the group was advised to do this at a continuous pace, and the other one was advised to do this in alternating 3-minute bouts of fast walking and 3-minute bouts of very slow walking. And the outcomes clearly show that you have to expose your body to at least some degree of overload, you could say, to induce real change. Because the VO max, that is a measure of your conditioning and of when you are starting gasping, you could say, did increase only in the interval group. As well as the body mass and the adiposity, they were also reduced only in the interval group. The glycemic control did deteriorate in the control group. That is, those people who stayed inactive, their glucose levels and insulin levels got even worse. The normal walking was at least able to stabilize the bad condition, so to say, and only the interval walking was able to improve glycemic control. And this clearly points to the point that you really have to go beyond doing what's really easy for you and doing something that is at least A plus one, you could say.
Right.
You are at level A, and you must try to achieve level A plus one. And while many of the trainees you see at the gym are overtaxing themselves, there are at least as many, especially of the somewhat older people, who are often afraid that they could overtax them. But in a way, it sounds counterintuitive, but going a little too far, so to say, with regular rest in between is how exercise works. And this was confirmed by another study from the University of Portland that has just been published. And they studied the bone health and body composition in prematurely menopausal breast cancer survivors. So this is obviously a group of people who are probably, maybe some of them were active before, but many of them weren't. And especially after having such a disease, many are also probably hesitant to join a gym and to train there. And what they did was they put them on different regimen, and the one or the only one that really worked for them was actually a combination of resistance training and of loading, that is carrying heavy things, so to say. And they found quite astonishing results in terms of both the increase in bone health without taking calcium. Maybe they were on calcium supplements, but all of them were on calcium supplements. And the addition of exercise was a crucial factor that really helped those women to reestablish their bone health. And they also had improvements, obviously, in body composition. And what was most intriguing, at least for me, or what's the most important message, I think, for many, is that the crucial determining factor in terms of body in terms of the changes of body composition was their tendons.
And really?
The scientists measured their tendons and divided the group in those who attended more than 74% of the sittings or of the exercise sessions, and those who didn't attend less than 64% of the sessions. And the difference is really outstanding, because while the ones who attended lost 2% body fat, the others gained 3% body fat. And the ones who attended also gained much more muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about first of all having a plan and taking action, and second of all also to stick to it.
Consistency is so important in all of this. It really is.
Yeah, and sometimes it's really hard. And there are always those days, but for me personally, it's often on those days where I go home most satisfied when I've trained. And often even the training session is much better than when I'm highly motivated and going to the gym, and then it doesn't really work out for me. So you really have to overcome first of all the shyness to go train at all, and then you have to stick to the protocol. And in this context, maybe last thing on the training side of things, and especially for the female listeners, there's been a very interesting study, at least for me it was interesting, where they asked women, and these were older women as well, pick the weight you feel that would be right for you to train with. So they did not really prescribe. They told the women how all the exercises worked, and they started training with them, so they were confident in doing all the exercises. And then 20 healthy women had to pick their weights for themselves. And the result was that most of the women picked weights in the range of 60 to 50% of their one run repetition max. That is, they, for example, if they would have been able to perform one repetition with, say, 50 kilos, they would have picked 15 kilos only to perform their sets. And this is clearly beyond the level which will cause adaptation. And adaptation is the change you're looking for, because you're going to the gym because you want to get stronger, because you want to look better, because you want to feel better. But if you are doing things that are just normal for your body, the chances that it will change are really low. And this may sound hilarious, but most of you can really lift more. You just have to try to do so and to overcome your fear. Look at the guys; they do the exact opposite. Most of them lift so much that they don't do any of the exercises correct and don't see any results. So if you could mix up some of the women with some of their male counterparts and find a happy medium, I think many of the trainees would make much greater progress and see better improvements both in body composition as well as in general health.
I you know what? I actually think that this is more of an exercise in sociology. And the reason I say that is because I remember reading a study many years ago that looked at Latino and African-American women. They view their bodies differently than white women or whatever, European women, for instance. And this was a study that was done looking at the obstacles of women, their perception of gymnasiums and exercising. It also looked at women who were larger breasted. They too have obstacles getting into the gym and exercising. I also think that society imposes and women genuflect to it that women should not be muscular. And so I think that most women are probably so much stronger than they realize. They give birth, for crying out loud. They can spit a 9-pound baby out. Okay. Many of them without anesthesia, and very little help other than, you know, their abdominal muscles and diaphragm. And so we know that women can be strong, but I think that culturally there are obstacles to them exercising this strength. They don't think it's feminine. They really think that's what it is.
And they mix up strength with huge muscle mass, and this is certainly not the case. Because you can't be strong without being the biggest guy in the gym. The biggest guy in the gym rarely is the strongest guy in the gym, I should say. At least if it's about really lifting weights. Obviously, he's bigger than the average man, but the biggest guy usually is not the strongest one. And especially for women, it's really difficult to bulk up. And maybe as a last scientific advice on why exercise is so important, another study which hit actually the mainstream media today is a study on the protective effects of melatonin against Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And I think everybody these days is afraid of getting Alzheimer's or developing Alzheimer's in his later years. And this study showed quite conclusively that melatonin and exercise,
right,
and only in combination, they were effective to decrease the mitochondrial decay, which is actually probably the most detrimental effect to your cognitive abilities. On the one hand, you obviously have the buildup of those plaque in the tissue, but this Alzheimer's specific. You can also have non-Alzheimer dementia, and in those cases, it's often mitochondrial decay and mitochondrial misfunction. And the only thing that really helps is, in this case, it's not just melatonin or just exercise, but it's the combination of exercise and melatonin. And what is exercise and melatonin, if we disregard the possibility of supplementation, it's exercise, and the other side is sleep. And this goes also back to our prostate cancer guy, because he had to stand up early in the morning after a good night of sleep, get some sun, and best of all, do this walking outside for 30 minutes and get yourself exposed to the sun and set your circadian rhythm clock, your circadian clock right, and you are protecting yourself certainly not only against dementia and Alzheimer's, but, and this is actually what the scientists also suggest, is that the same treatment, quote-unquote treatment, will also help against epilepsy, against chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and the aging process itself. In other words, it will make you live longer, and it will make you live healthier. And it's a combination of what humans were meant to do, that is to sleep, to exercise, and the third factor is actually to eat a natural diet.
Yeah. This is great information. And you know what else it is? I'm sitting here with a big goofy smile on my face for a couple reasons. One, I'm practicing happiness. But more importantly, because we've been talking about this forever. And you know what? It just punctuates that we're right. We're on the right track. Don't ever let anybody dissuade you that what we are doing as a community, all of you out there listening to this show, myself, Adele, all of us, what we are doing as a community is the right thing to do. Don't ever second-guess your judgment. Don't ever second-guess your critical thinking skills. Adele Moussa, I just enjoy being on the air with you. I have to tell you something, because I learn so much from you, and at the same time, I'm in awe. I'm in awe of your capacity for knowledge, your brilliance, and your articulation. And you are the best. Subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com, single best blog on the internet. I can go off the air tomorrow as long as that blog stays alive. That's my opinion. Thank you very much for your contribution to the show today, Adele.
I thank you for giving me the forum to do this.
Okay. Okay, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Bye.
All right. All right, so there you have it. A great show. Another great show. We just keep delivering here, and we have Casual Friday tomorrow, so we will see you then. Thank you for listening.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.